Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I've been getting out of work.
And welcome to Shut That Copy Down, the Freight Sales show for closers here on Freight Waves TV. Hope everyone's doing great. A lot of news out there with bankruptcies with Yellow and the chaos. Maybe a little bit of a turn in the freight market. Who knows? Regardless, though, it's always time to get out there, hustle, make some sales, make some margin, make those commission checks. And that's what we talked about here on Put That Coffee Down. We're going to talk about cross-border today. We're going to talk about South Texas and border crossings and reshoring, nearshoring. Again, I did that with IGL a few weeks ago. You can catch that on the audio version of Put That Coffee Down. I have a couple other episodes out. Dr. Mark Manera from Supply Chain Fitness. We talked about trucker health. We published that out last Friday. And from last week, I was on location with Hiram Hartnett over at Pegasus Logistics. So you can check out those back episodes on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts at Put That Coffee Down or Freight Cats. But today we're going to talk to Teclo Garcia. He's the CEO of Mission Economic Development Corporation down in South Texas in the Valley. He used to be with the city of Laredo. But he's back to his roots, so we will check in and see what the activity is on the border and how everything's going. And, you know, Teclo is a busy guy. He's always doing something. Right now he's driving. How are you doing, Teclo?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thank you for having me on, as usual. I appreciate it. I am riding today. My wife is driving, but we're on the road. We're actually on I-20 right now, getting close across to the Mississippi River.
Oh, nice. Nice. So you're heading east of the Mississippi?
Yes. I have a son who is in the U.S. Army, and he's graduating from his basic training, and we're going to go check him out. Long way from Mission, but it's certainly worth going to, huh?
That is definitely worth going to. Where's the destination on that?
It would be Columbia, South Carolina, Fort Jackson.
Fort Jackson. Very good. You have a long drive ahead of you right now, don't you? But well worth it. Well worth it. Congratulations. Tell your son congrats as well.
Thank
you. So you are back. You moved from the city of Laredo back to home, right? And can you tell us a little bit about, if we still have you there, Teclo?
I can.
If you can. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Good. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days.
Well, Mission Corporation is the city of Mission's economic development arm. And we're charged with creating jobs, creating opportunities for investment, and for enhancing the workforce. And so we're right there snug against the Rio Grande, which you know very well, Kevin. And we're working to do those. On the trade side, something that you would be interested in is that we, Mission is a co-owner with the city of McAllen, also in the Rio Grande Valley, of an international bridge, which up until now has not carried cargo. But within 18 months, it'll be cargo ready on both sides of the border. We're building inspection facilities, and we're really looking forward to increasing those opportunities for investment and trade once those facilities are opened up.
So when you're talking about Mission and the trade bridge there, where's the natural corridor down to facilities in Mexico?
Great question. On the U.S. side is it's I-69, which is in the process of being complete, and otherwise it's U.S. 281, which connects San Antonio to the Valley and Corpus Christi. And of course, I-69 is kind of a triple legged interstate, which is being completed to Laredo, the Valley, and well, to McAllen and Brownsville, and then leading up to Houston, and then all the way up to Texas and, you know, Tennessee and Indiana. And so that is the connection on this side. And on the other side, it's highways that connect Reynosa, which has about 200 plus maquiladoras, to Monterrey, and another highway, 101, which goes along the East Coast and connects to San Luis Potosí and Querétaro, were both really important areas for trade and manufacturing.
And I know San Luis Potosí, you were done at a conference there. I know that's big in the auto manufacturing game. Before we talked about the conference and kind of the thoughts on the ground right now, maquiladoras, can you explain that term to our listeners and viewers out there who aren't familiar with that?
Sure. And maquiladoras are part of a twin manufacturing concept where one aspect of a product is manufactured or assembled in Mexico, and a second half of that product is finished or done in on the U.S. side. And so Reynosa, Ciudad Juárez, across from El Paso, and Mexicali in California, and in some regards Nogales, all have heavy maquiladora presence. It could be anything from electronics to, I ran across some folks the other day from Under Armour, that they're producing a lot of their product in Mexico. I came across another group from Great Britain that are producing electronic parts for vehicles on the Reynosa side. So it could run anywhere from auto content to apparel to electronics like TVs or et cetera. These plants that hug the border count on the U.S. side for support and help and logistics, and then the U.S. side primarily counts on those factories to do the manufacturing on the Mexico side. And it's been working well for many, many years. If anyone wants to read more about it, the Dallas Fed has several papers and explanatory issues out about how the maquila system works. And it's certainly been beneficial to us in the Rio Grande Valley.
It's interesting. It's been a few years since I've seen the graph. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal. But, you know, you take a normal auto part or a car, and the pieces are manufactured in the U.S. and Canada in often cases, into Mexico, back into the U.S., back into Mexico. And you know, certain parts and systems might cross the border several times before it's a finished good and ready for sale.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right, Kevin. And that's all part of the beauty of having these free trade agreements with Mexico. Is being able to, for industries like the auto manufacturers, to be able to leverage the freedom and the capability of both countries to get the products done that they need. And so auto is one of those, and you're right, sometimes products will cross several times across the border to finally get to their finishing point. It could be a carburetor. It could be an alternator or a car seat or whatever that might be, and it does cross quite a few times.
Yeah, it's always interesting how that happens. So let's go back to San Luis Potosí. You went to a conference down there. What are some of the key takeaways? What was the conference about? Kind of how does it fare for trade?
Well, one key aspect, Kevin, and I invite you to come with me the next time I go, was the chilaquiles, or unbelievable. And I know you like that dish.
I do.
invite you to come down and get the real stuff. Joking aside, Kevin, San Luis is a very impressive city. It's located in central Mexico in the high desert. It's near the Bajío, which is includes León and Querétaro, who do a lot of production. San Luis reminds me of a smaller Monterrey in terms of production. Okay. They located there are is the BMW auto plant, a GM auto plant, a Cummins diesel plant, and folks like Goodyear and Continental all have major facilities there. Maybe a couple hundred tier one and tier two suppliers, steel manufacturers, aluminum manufacturers, and on. And the prosperity is easy to see around San Luis. I mean, you can tell how these manufacturing plants have really brought the city up in terms of into Mexico's middle class, or even better. I mean, it's not rare to see Mercedes and BMWs and GMCs pickups all around the city, at one of the, seems like 100 coffee shops that they have in San Luis. And our hotel, just to give you an idea, was right next to a Sam's and a Costco. And it's just like, U.S. style. Man, the city's not lost its charm. Its downtown is unbelievably well-kept and historic from the 1800s, and the buildings are incredible. But the opportunities that San Luis presents, Mexico is really riding that wave of nearshoring and new investment. It really is incredible. And that conference was based on, nearshoring and an auto summit. And it's very impressive. Not that I should be surprised, because San Luis has had a long history there, but it's really in a good position geographically and within the industry to capitalize on the skilled workforce that it has, the 8 to 10 universities that are in town. And it was something else, Kevin. I really wish you could see that, because it among Mexico's cities, it is impressive. And the more I go there, the more I see more American investment and even more foreign investment from Japan and Korea as well. And by the way, there's so many Germans in town. There's a German chamber of commerce in the city.
A German chamber of commerce. So you compared it earlier to Monterrey, San Luis to Monterrey. And I have never been to San Luis. I've been to Monterrey. Does it remind you, you described it, kind of what I remember Monterrey being. And that was maybe 10 years ago that I went to Monterrey a few times. Does it give that sense of a feel and look, and both on the business side and the cultural side, like Monterrey did maybe 20 or 30 years ago? And you can see that you can see it turning into the next Monterrey?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say that. I mean, Monterrey is certainly a city of enormous size and stature in Mexico. And it's becoming sort of a world-class city. I mean, with its airport, flights to Europe and Asia. I mean, San Luis is nowhere close to that. But it was Monterrey, or it is Monterrey from 20 plus years ago. But with all the new advancement in technology that Monterrey didn't have back in the day, I mean, Monterrey's metro population is about 4 million, and San Luis is in a 1.2 million range. And so it one advantage it has is smaller, and it's tidy, and it's more manageable. Traffic is not terrible, not yet, and it's growing quickly. But yes, it does remind me of something like that. But certainly not comparable yet to Monterrey, but it can definitely hold its own for a smaller city.
Oh, very good. So as you're talking about Germans in town, and that's something that I've been hearing about, that there's a lot of outside investment coming into Mexico, not just, of course, from the United States, but from both European countries and in China and parts of Asia, too, are all building factories and plants in Mexico. Is that the sense you're getting as well?
Yes, sir. I mean, that's exactly what we saw and we've seen. And just about anybody around Mexico will tell you that that is exactly what's happening. And Mexico is also aggressively seeking this investment from multinational companies that are heavily invested in Asia, not to shut down their operation in Asia, but to nearshore or open other facilities in Mexico. And that's been widely reported by Forbes and the Wall Street Journal and New York Times and certainly the Texas papers. And so it's definitely a phenomena that's really incredible to watch. And what the message here for us along the border and in Texas in general, Kevin, is that it's almost too late to get ready. We should have been ready. We have to move very quickly to handle all this new production in Mexico. And it's almost kind of, we'll have to, like, you know, 5 years from now, look back and go, hey, what happened? Because Mexico is quickly transforming into this humongous manufacturer. They've always manufactured things, but at this speed, at this rate, it's just really incredible what we're seeing, whether it's Aguascalientes, Mexico City, the state of Mexico, Toluca, Monterrey, and certainly Governor Garcia and Nuevo León, who I've met with a few times.
And I guess we lost Tecla there. Are you back?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
I was mentioning that Governor Garcia from Nuevo León, which is a state that Monterrey is in, certainly has been very aggressive in his effort to bring industry to Monterrey, you know, such as, you know, the gigafactory that Tesla is going to build there, battery factories, other manufacturers from Korea, Japan, from Europe. He's really been on the ball. Mm-hmm. Deserves a lot of credit for that. Yes, to your answer, you can definitely see the transformation happening in Mexico.
How about on this side of the border? And I know last time we spoke, it's been a few months. But each time we spoke, it was about building up and construction and catching up on warehousing and facilities on this side of the border to handle the capacity that's and the new trade routes that are going in and this nearshoring trend. How's that going so far? Like down all along the border. New construction for warehousing space, kind of what's the state of that right now?
Well, I can speak to the Laredo, the Rio Grande Valley. I'm not sure about El Paso, but in Laredo and the Valley, our vacancy rates are about 1% for grade A, you know, logistics warehousing, mm-hmm. which is just incredible. Laredo is building as fast as they can. And in the Valley, we need more private sector investment into logistics and light manufacturing buildings and warehouses, because it's just not happening. And at 1%, you know, we're going to be in a very tight situation. Even at 1%, we already are, but we're going to be in a situation mm-hmm. where we're not going to be able to recruit with confidence because these warehouses that don't exist, we're going to need them.
We're going to need them. Go ahead.
No, we're going to need them, or otherwise we're going to risk turning down some of these manufacturers that need space. If someone came to me today, Kevin, and said, hey, I need 200,000 square feet in the Mission McAllen area, the answer is we don't have it. We're going to have to get it built. Laredo is in a similar situation. You know, these warehouses are being built as fast as possible, but in some cases, we're not getting the notice or the investment from the private sector in order to get these going. And I'm making my appeal to the private sector to look at the Valley again, to look at Laredo again, and invest in those kind of warehouses that we need.
And you mentioned, you know, at the very first of the call, you mentioned the new bridge going in around Mission, and during, you know, that crossing. That's just going to increase demand for warehousing space. It's going to accelerate it, right? If you're playing catch up right now, then once that opens and that's functional and working, it's going to be off the charts demand for warehousing space and manufacturing and all the other infrastructure that goes into it.
Oh man, Kevin, you're exactly right. And that's why I'm doing my pitches around the valley. I'm going to California in a couple of months. I'm going to be in Austin next month, you know, making this appeal to try to grab the notice of developers to say, hey, look, we're at 1% vacancy with cargo on its way. I mean, right now is the time to invest in this area to handle all the tsunami of trade that's coming our way. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I can see it in San Luis and Monterrey and other places. It's on its way, and we got to be able to handle it. We all know what happened the last time we had a supply chain issue. It really bogged down the economy. We certainly don't want that to happen again.
We really don't. And I think there's a lot of confluences of variables coming together, right? You know, strict supply of warehousing and infrastructure in South Texas. But this overall trend, because of that supply chain disruption back in the pandemic in 2020, 2021, there's a real trend. I see accelerating of nearshoring, reshoring, certainly back to North America. And, you know, there's probably demographic factors in play as well, but it's this perfect storm almost of bringing everything into maybe another supply chain disruption because everyone's jumping in to this trend all at once.
You know, Kevin, when I was in Laredo just over a year ago, we were at a record $234 billion in trade. And last year, Laredo did $300 billion worth of trade. And then this coming year, they're on pace to do more than that. And they're moving 20,000 trucks a day. They're at a complete saturation. And my friends there are doing, the best job that they can. But we need a help. Eagle Pass needs a bridge. We need ours to get up and going as fast as possible. We need to provide alternatives to be able to handle all the trades that is happening now and that's going to come. It is a confluence. It is a perfect storm. And this perfect storm is they're creating jobs. They are leading to more investment. And this is good for the state of Texas, not just from the Valley. I mean, most of our traffic goes to Houston and DFW, and most of Laredo's traffic does the same. So it's not just us that are benefiting. It's the produce that's coming from Central Mexico. It's the auto parts. It's the Legos and the Oreos that are coming from Monterrey into the U.S. So it's a lot of different things that are happening. I mean, I joke about that, but you know, Barbie is one of the biggest movies in the U.S. right now, if not the world. Mm-hmm. Well, Mattel has a humongous factory in Monterrey where they make most of their Ken and Barbie dolls. In the U.S. and North and South America there. Same with Lego, right? Lego super hot toys. But then they have their production facilities for the Americas in Monterrey. And most of those toys get moved to Laredo on truck. And so, these trucks and these companies depend on a good chain supply system, good transportation system, and ease of flow at the border. And so I think that we're not just doing this for governments, we're doing this for the private sector and consumers. And that's really important to understand.
It is. It's very important. You're a busy guy driving all around. You're going to be busy for the next few years getting the infrastructure up and getting the economic development down into the valley and into Mission, just like you did in Laredo. Thanks for joining us today, Teklo. And, if any of our audience and viewers want to reach out, you're always on LinkedIn, Teklo Garcia.
Yes, sir.
And, again, thanks.
Yeah, Kevin, always good to be with you. We know I-20 is important for trade. I want I-20. I want to be on the lookout for you, see if there's anything else we can see.
Will do. Thank you very much, Teklo.
Okay, take care, Kevin. Thank you.
You too. And that was Teklo Garcia. He's the CEO of Mission Economic Development, talking about the border. Exciting things going on there. I think that's one of the going to be the driving trends over the next decade or so is a move closer to home, whether that's reshoring back here in the United States or back to North America. I think it's going to be the next big thing in supply chains. Did another cross-border kind of U.S.-Mexico-Canada episode, audio only with IGL Logistics. You can find that on our podcast. Also talked to the guys over at Freight 360 and Pulpo sat out on the podcast channel too. We talked about customer churn. It was a great lively conversation because that's one of those things you just can't control for the most part. You can do your part, but there's a lot of different things that go wrong. But that's going to wrap it for this week. Put that coffee down. We'll see you next week, Tuesday, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, take care. Make some origin. Make some sales. I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I've been getting out of work, and I've been shutting down stores.